All right, today we are continuing on, and it's going to be a subject on consistency, but also we're definitely going to be talking about prayer towards the end. But we need to look at this biblical consistency, and we need to look at ourselves, and how consistent are you in your life? How consistent are you in day-to-day basis? How consistent are you in different aspects of life? Think about that. Are you really? Are you consistent? Now, think about God and how consistent He is. Do you match up to Him? Well, probably not. Probably not. And we need to think about that. Think about God and how consistent He is. Now, I have guys in every section here are going to grab these boards and come up in front of you. And I want you right now, in your group, in your section, to come up with ways that God is consistent. How is He consistent? So, if you would do that. And I think my guy for this section just left. So, Larry, could you do that? Just right over here, just grab that and... Roland, could you do that? Cheryl, okay. Cheryl, do it. So, go over just a few minutes here. Go over with the person with the board. Tell them the ways God is consistent. Go ahead and do that. All right, do you have a list about five or six? All right. All right, Ellen's going to list. We're going to write a couple up here, and we'll see. Let's take one from Kyle. What's one way that he is consistent?
Always present.
He's always present, okay? Like, is there anywhere you can go and God is not there? No, he's consistently there, right? All right, Billy? He's always faithful, okay? We can't say that for ourselves, can we? But He is. All right. Cheryl, you have one? Keeps the earth going. I'm glad He doesn't forget about us. You know? Well, wasn't there that planet I was, you know?
Yeah.
Forgot about that. All right. Nathan, another one?
Keeps His promises.
Okay. He always keeps His promises. How many of us have broke a promise? We're not consistent in that. Kyle, another one? Always answers prayer. He does answer prayer always. May not be the way we like it, but He does answer. Okay? And Billy, no one?
Loving.
He's always loving. And that can be when we're doing good, and also He's loving when we're doing bad, too. He shows also His love through discipline, doesn't He? All right, Cheryl, another one? Okay. Everything we have comes from God. We get nothing from anybody else. Everything's consistently from Him. Nothing comes from anywhere else. All right, one more, Nathan. Justice. Okay, consistent in justice. All right. All right, you guys can sit down. You may have one more job to do here later, but... So he's consistent in justice. That's right. Ellen and I have gotten on the little kick of watching Judge Judy online. That's always interesting. She brings down the justice, but I tell you what, sometimes I think she's wrong. But God is never wrong. When He sits there as judge, He's not going to be wrong. He knows what? He knows every fact that has happened. And His justice is always correct and always consistent with Him. So we think about this consistency with God in that He is completely reliable. Completely reliable. Think about your life when you're unsteady, when you're unpredictable. Maybe your friend or maybe your spouse, not sure what's going to come out of your mouth. Not sure what you're thinking. You're kind of unpredictable, but God is predictable. We know that He does things a certain way. He'll never go against what He says. He is always consistent. He always remains the same, no matter what. He chooses to remain constant with us. We can be assured that when we do something a certain way, God is going to respond a certain way. When we sin, what does God do? How does God respond? When we sin, he can bring punishment, right? But when we sin, when we ask for forgiveness, what does he always do? He is faithful to forgive. He's consistent in that. I don't know about you, maybe there's somebody you haven't forgiven in your life. You've forgiven others, but maybe you haven't forgiven this person or that person. But he's always consistent. You come to him for forgiveness, he will forgive. Aren't you glad God does not have mood swings? That he doesn't have sudden outbursts of anger out of nowhere? I'm glad for that. Now we see in God's word that he's angry sometimes, isn't he? But that's consistent with what? With him. His holiness, his righteousness, his justice. He's consistent with that. He's not just going to get mad one of these days, smack you around for no reason. He's not going to do that. But he's going to do what he does according to his justice, his holiness, his righteousness. He's going to respond. And God always follows through on his words. He will always bring about what he says. Some people may say, well, God was different back in the Old Testament than he is today. Is that true? No, he's not different. He never changes. He may deal differently with people at a different time, in a different way, a different dispensation. That's a whole other subject to go into. But he deals with people a certain way and a certain time differently through the ages, through each dispensation. And we're in the dispensation of what? Grace. Before, in Old Testament, that was the dispensation of law. But he's always consistent. He never changes, though. How is a person saved in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament? Same way. Through what? Faith. Okay? There's no change. But in the Old Testament, guess what? We didn't have the ultimate sacrifice yet, right? So they had to continually sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. And now we have Jesus Christ come. He's come, and now he is the sacrifice. He has made the sacrifice. We no longer need the sacrifices to continue on. He is once and for all the final sacrifice for sins. But it's consistent through history of how God is and how consistent he is. In Hebrews 13:8, it says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. The God of the Old Testament, he was in deep love with his people and calling them back to himself. You could look at Hosea chapter 1, verses 3. Here we have Hosea, and he married a woman who was a prostitute, and what did he have him do all the time? Continue to love her, right? Showing himself. It says in 3:1, it says, Lord said to me, go show love to your wife Gomer again, that she is loved by another and is adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. His love has been consistent down through the ages. Even from the Garden of Eden to our present time now, his love is consistent with his people. He continues to love and to cherish. He loved the Israelites. He's not done with them yet. He loves his church. He's not done with his church yet. His love is consistent. The same love down through the ages. And he has always desired a wholehearted love rather than obedience rather than a religious obedience. I do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He wants the whole, your wholehearted love rather than just sacrificial obedience, doing sacrifices but not having any love for him in your heart. He wants your love. He don't delight in sacrifice. He delights in your doing, as he says, in loving him. Is it possible for God to change his mind? To change what he has planned through all eternity? For us, it looks like, he's not being consistent here. He's changing his mind. He's changing his thoughts. And we could go back to Exodus chapter 32 and look at that about Moses as he talked to God. And God was very angry with his people. He's going to destroy them and say, you know what, Moses, I'll just do my promise through you. But it looked like Moses talked him out of it. Was God really going to do that? Was God going to change everything that he had promised to who? Abraham. Didn't he make a promise to Abraham? Wow, if he would have done that, he would have broken that promise. Does God break promises? No. He doesn't. So it looks like Moses talked him out of it, made him relent and change his mind. But no, God had everything in control. He knew exactly where things were going. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And to us, it looks like, oh yeah, he's going to change his mind, but to God, it wasn't a change of mind. A lot of times, I think God uses some of those things, what? To test us. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to this? But it is amazing that God chooses to work with and through his people. God has the ability to hold the past and the future in his hands. It's amazing. God knows the past and he knows the future. He's been there. Just think about this. God is everywhere all the time, right? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. That means he is still in the past. He's still in the present. He's also in the future. Wrap your mind around that. Because God is there and he knows everything that will happen and what has happened. He's working everything out according to his plan. But it's amazing that even though he's in the past, he's in the future, he is fully right here in the present, in your present situation. Consistently, everywhere. Always present. Always here. Think about the power of consistency. The power of consistency. You have a constant drip of water. Drip, drip, drip. Now, that would drive you nuts after a while, but very constant. If that water was dripping, continued to drip and drip, say on a piece of, big piece of sandstone, constantly drip, 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 would it eventually change that sandstone? Would it eventually, over time, can change and change. It may even start to put a hole down through that. It may really start to wear it away. But that's consistency. Consistency, maybe it may not be fast. But what is it? Consistent, and it changes things. That little drip of water, continue to drip, will eventually change that rock. You think about a small stream of water as it moves, as it has, just say it has a constant flow and it's moving. Does that stream stay the same? It will change. It will take a tight bend and it may bring around another bend and all these bends, but eventually it'll eat through and it'll, guess what? It'll cut through and go straight again. It'll cut out that bend and it'll go straight again. Huh? And you have a crescent-shaped lake. Yeah. But it's consistent. It will change. It will move. It's definitely not exciting. Consistency. Especially slow consistency. It's just not exciting. But it's something that we need. We need to emphasize our faith over our experiences or emotion. Consistency in faith. We do what the Bible says consistently because of faith. There's some things that we do as a church, as Christians, because of faith. And those things, we could probably list a few, but those things are important for us because it's something that really grows us. And there's different areas that we need to be more consistent in. And one of them is we've been working on is prayer. That's one area that we want to be more consistent in on a personal level and on a corporate level, a group level. We want to be more consistent in. Do you think the Lord wants us to be consistent in prayer? I think so. I think it's a very, very important area that we need to do. And you know what? We all fail at that. But we need to keep working at it. Because we have faith that God will answer prayer. He will do that. If we don't pray, then where is our faith with Him answering? Is He going to answer something that you never pray about? Does He have an obligation to? If we don't ask, you don't have because you don't ask. So, consistency. We truly believe God hears us when we pray. We truly believe that. And just like a tree, as consistency in our life, as it grows roots, as a tree grows and gets bigger, do the roots grow deeper? Yeah, most likely. The roots will continue to grow deeper and deeper. Get a better hold, a better foundation, a better grip. And that tree will not easily be swayed or moved, will it? That tree will not easily be uprooted. Because as it grew, consistently, slowly, I don't think roots grow at a whole really, really fast. But as it consistently grew roots and deepened and deepened and deepened, to where 50 years down the road, that tree's still standing, and it's massive, and it's big, and it's not going anywhere, unless a tornado comes through. Those are different things, you know, happen, but guess what? A lot of times, the tree snaps off, and the roots are still there. It's a trunk. But if it doesn't have the good roots, it may be toppled over. So we need to get our roots, be consistently in our faith, get our roots down below the shallow soil, get it down into the deep soil that we can grip and be held steadfast. So consistency in our life. And so as we think about prayer, as we think about, well, God is consistent, He never changes, we need the consistency in our life. And how about prayer? You know, one of three different principles of consistent prayer I wanted to think about today. These three things. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's just an introduction there. It says pray continually. That sounds like what? Consistently. Then say pray whenever you feel like it. Pray continually. Something that is consistent with us. John 15:4-5 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What's consistent in that verse? Remain. Consistently remain. We are to be a kind of remaining type of Christian rather than a Christian who just like becomes. But to remain. Not to be one of those Christians who, oh, I'm back on track now. And then down the road, then you're off track. And then you're back on track. That's not consistent. God wants you to be consistent. Now, this Christian who becomes spiritual or acts spiritual, that's when they go to church or get around people who are Christians. Kind of acting a certain way around certain people. You know, there are those people, you know what? Maybe through all the years, and you maybe saw them in church, they were there, and down the road, and praise the Lord, they actually got saved. You would have thought, I thought they were saved. They acted like it. They were at church every week. They're just acting like. They're becoming that type of person when they showed up. But there is no consistency in their life. But we want to be those type of remain in him. Being consistent. Being steadfast all the time. So number one is a priority of prayer. Prayer should be our first response, not the last thing we do. Right? So it's the first thing we do. The first response. How many of us react before we pray? Everybody in here I know does. We react before we pray. The first things. Honoring the Lord with first things. What better way to honor the Lord than giving prayer the first thing we do in every situation? And that takes work because we're so used just to making a decision and going with it, right? I'll make many decisions and I'll just go with it. Sometimes in my work, you know, you just got to make a decision and go with it. And sometimes it hadn't turned out very well. Maybe I should have prayed, actually. You know? So the idea, the principle here of putting prayer as a priority, first response, first thing we do. And how many of those things that we do first kind of reveals the priority in our life? So what we do first, isn't that a priority? What we do first is a priority. That's what I want to do. Do that first. Absolutely. When you eat dinner, my priority would be dessert. First. Yeah, dessert first. Start there. And then if you have room left over, eat the other stuff. But that's a priority, right? That's what I want to do first. But what's the reasonable, the best thing to do? Eat my dinner first, then have dessert. But yeah, we jump into things. We do something, and that's our priority. But maybe we should work on making prayer a priority, and that's what we've been working on this month. Just trying to make it priority in our life. I think one example is Daniel chapter 6. Daniel here says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. This is a decree that, you know, no one's supposed to pray to anybody else but the king. Okay? What did Daniel do first? Did he lament and cry? And no, what did he do? He went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. When that decree, that death sentence for him, was decreed and published, and it was out there, he went and did prayer first. That was a priority in his life. When something comes down against us, what is our first thoughts? Is it prayer? It needs to be. We need to consistently get our minds going that direction. Prayer. Now the place of prayer. Maybe there is a place where we need to set aside to go on a consistent basis, or that time that we need to go and have prayer. We need to set that aside and be consistent with that. Jesus had places that he went to pray, right? Look at this, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning. Does that show something about Jesus? What's his priority? Very early in the morning. What's the first thing he's going to do? While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That's an example of our Lord. Very early in the morning, a priority that Jesus had was to pray. And he was God, God incarnate. He saw it as important to pray to his Father. You know, find a place. Find a place. Find a time. Usually when we have a place and a time, we have a schedule, we do something, it keeps us on track. Maybe think about the best time and the place for you to start that consistent priority of prayer. Could be your bedroom. Could be maybe you like getting out and walking in the morning. Pray as you walk. Could be on your kitchen table. Maybe a devotion. That's where you do that. So if you don't have a place, pick one. If you do, stay with it. Be consistent with it. And the plan of prayer. We all need a plan. And that's what we want to do right now is the plan. Okay? Have a plan. Make a plan. In Luke chapter 11, this is before he gave his idea of the prayer, like in Matthew 6, 2, he also gives us in Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer and kind of like the outline of what he says. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Then he gives that Lord's Prayer. Okay, this is how you should pray. So the disciples asked Jesus, you know, teach them to pray. He gave them a pattern, a model, which we call the Lord's Prayer. He didn't teach them to recite it word for word, though. You know that? Some people recite it word for word. Well, that wasn't the meaning. He said, in this way, pray after this manner. This type of prayer. He even gave you seven different topics to pray. Kind of lays it out there, kind of outline. You know, pray in this manner. And that's why I wanted us to pray as we pray together as a church, that first thing where it says, hallowed be your name. Think about the name of God, the name of Jesus. And give him the praise and honor and glory that he deserves. You know, before we go into our problems and our aches and pains or whatever it may be, you know, thinking about ourselves, we need to think about God first and who he is and who we're praying to. So he said, pray after this manner, and the seven different things to pray about. So let's bring some tools or a plan to your prayer. So we need a plan that goes for our prayer time. In everything we do in life, really, we need a plan. Now, he's thinking about what our church is doing right now as we're going through our plan for our church. Lord, we're planning. We want to know where you want us to go. We want to see, you know, where are we strong at? Where are we weak? What do we need to grow in? We're developing that plan. And I think the Lord is going to bless that because everything we do, it's good to have a plan. You know, we make our plans, right? It says in God's Word, we make our plans, but the Lord, what? Directs our steps. So he wants us to have a plan. He wants us to have a direction. And then he's going to direct it, and he's going to get you to where he needs to go. And one of the things that I believe, is that if you're taking steps, you're moving forward, God will be able to direct you where you need to go. If you're standing still, how can he direct you? No matter where, what position he puts you in, guess what? If you're standing still, you're not going to get there. You're going to stay there. But start moving. Once you start moving, then the Lord is going to direct your steps. And that's, you might start moving in this direction, but the Lord can also, what, turn you around and head you back in the other direction where he wants you to go. Even though it might not be the place where he wants you to go, he'll get you there. You're faithfully following him. And it really starts with prayer. It really, really starts with prayer. So make sure of our time and make sure that we get a plan together. So just a couple minutes. I want the guys to come back up. You can erase what's on the boards, okay? So go do that. Erase what's on those boards. And I want your section, each section, to just get down a prayer plan. I'm going to take like 5 minutes. I just want to see what you guys come up with. Prayer plan. And what are the important things in a prayer plan? I want to see if you got it from what I said today. If you're going to plan for prayer, what are important things you need in that plan? All right, let's see what you guys come up with. All right, Nathan, first thing.
Place.
All right, find a place. Kyle, second thing?
A specific time.
A time. Those two kind of go together, time and place. Okay. All right, Billy, third, something else?
God first.
God first. So you start your prayer, it's about God, right? Okay. Dan? Okay, right next to God first, praise and thanksgiving. Okay. All right, Nathan, you got another one on there? Okay, using the Bible. Either Pastor Jeff talked over the last week about Psalms, or you go to Matthew 6. You could be right there, and it'll help you through as you work through praying to the Lord. It says pray in this manner. They'll give you an outline of how to work through that. So using the Bible is important. Isn't it good to use the Bible rather than trying to figure out it yourself? Yeah, that's very helpful, isn't it? Okay, Kyle? Another? Okay. For God's will. Okay. So, as I'm seeing here, maybe it'd be a good idea to, you know, write these things down. Is it maybe good to also write down specifics of what you want to pray about? So that you can maybe write down underneath of God's kingdom and his will, okay, church ministries and what other areas you have there? Personal evangelism and those sorts of things. Make a subheadings under, okay, I want to pray about that. Billy? Okay. A request. Okay, the time for requests and asking the Lord specifically for things that you would like to see. Okay. Anything different? Oh, confession. Wow, that's a good one. Goes right along with the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven others. All right. Anything new? For God's leading. Is there anything new? Anybody want to add to that right now?
Protection.
Okay, protection. Anything else? Billy or Dan? Or Thanksgiving? That'd be, okay, praise and thanksgiving up here. All right. Okay. That's pretty good.
So we have the time, place, will.
And that's just a short list of things that we could actually pray about. But there's a plan. Write it down. Write the plan. You know what? It may change every week too. But staying consistent, having that plan, having that written down so that you could have it. Maybe keep it in your pocket as you go to work. Maybe you could make sure that it's on your kitchen table. Wherever you pray, there you have that list and you go through that consistently. And like I said, it's going to change. It's going to change every week. May change by the day. Who knows? But you have those things there that will help you stay consistent. And the biggest thing is the place and the time, really. You know, just anybody ever have a problem finding time? That means what? We're too busy or we don't have our priorities set, right? We don't have a right priority and we're not consistent in what we're doing. So it's a challenge for us to find a place, find a time, and to put God first and to pray through Psalms or using that Matthew 6, Lord's Prayer, using that as an outline to work through. And as you do that, it won't be a short two-minute prayer, will it? No. That's why you have to set aside time, because it's going to take time. So let's be faithful. Let's be faithful in what the Lord has laid before us to do and be consistent in it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are consistent, that you are loving and kind. And Lord, you want to teach us. And you teach us in your word, and you give given us just that little bit of the Lord's Prayer, an outline for us to be able to pray. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. But Lord, you teach us. And you taught your disciples. And I pray that, Lord, in our life, that we would be consistent. And our love for you would grow. And that we would not just think that we need to do this or that, or we need to make this sacrifice or that sacrifice, but that we would be obedient to your word, that our love would come through our obedience to you and following what you say in your word. And that one area could be prayer. We need to be obedient in prayer. I pray your encouragement. I pray your strength for all of us as we go out this week, as we've been learning this whole month, that you would continue to teach us and help us to be strengthened in the area of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.